Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
Okay, everybody, we are back for another How Not to Suck a Divorce episode. This week, we are focusing on forensic accounting, all the fun things in a divorce.
No matter what, don't confront your spouse over this.
You don't sign anything, especially if you don't understand what you're signing.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
But before we get there, I'm Morgan Stogsill, and we are recording the podcast separately tonight. Correct, Andrea?
I am Andrea Rappaport, and I'm sitting in my office looking at Morgan, or Morgie, as I referred to you before when I was waiting for you to log on to Zoom. I was like, where's Morgie? I'm staring at your beautiful face on Zoom, and we are separate but together, as always. So, speaking of separate but together, we have a very, very exciting version of our rom-com and horror film for today, because we've got some exciting news about our show. So are we ready to jump right in and do the highlight and the not so highlight of our weeks, otherwise known as the rom-com and horror film?
The rom-com and the horror movie.
Yes, we are. I will take it away. The rom-com. I don't know what we did on our podcast to warrant this, but y'all, we have 6 listeners in Wyoming. We've been begging for our Wyoming listeners to come on and actually listen. It was the only state we didn't have a listener in. All 50 states now we have listeners. So thank you to whoever called your buddy in Wyoming. That is the rom-com for me of the week. The horror film of my week is Chicago Traffic. I don't know what's going on, but you know what? After this week and Chicago Traffic, I know why road rage is a thing, because I literally wanted to pull over, get out, and just walk to the office in my high heels. I was over it. So I'll be walking for the rest of, now it's a Friday, the weekend.
I mean, that's one way to get your steps in. I mean, maybe like you're going to look like one of those like New York City commuters from the 80s with like your Keds on, but you've got your heels in your bag, like working girl.
Yeah. Oversized suit. And a French twist.
Oh, with like the French twist clips. Man, you're really painting a picture for me right now.
I think purple eyeshadow too. Anyway.
Oh, man. All right. Moving on over to my side of town I'm going to start with the horror. The horror of my week is I feel like a fraud. because this week we were promoting our episode with Dr. Randy Heller talking about how co-parenting should be viewed as a business. And I completely agree with that. I feel like a fraud because I still suck at co-parenting. And I suck at it. I'm horrible at it. In my opinion, I'm not the only one who's horrible at it in my situation, but it's horrible. And I hate it. I hate everything about it. And I don't want to do it anymore. So I feel like a fraud. I know that I'm not a fraud, but I just have to come out and say that that is my horror. But more exciting than that, the rom-com. Now, Wyoming, claps to you. Love you. So great. However, there's something else really exciting going on with our show, which is out of all of the podcasts in the whole mother loving world of podcasts, and there's like over 2 million apparently, this show, How Not to Suck at Divorce, is in the top 5%.
I can't believe it.
What?
How did this even happen?
What? I demand a recount. I mean, like, what is this? What? You
know, we got that stat this week and I was like, is this wrong? This is wrong. This has to be wrong.
Yeah. Run those numbers again. Like, that can't be right. This dog and pony show. Are you kidding me? But no. I don't know. It's amazing. It's amazing. And we ain't stopping. Can't stop, won't stop. So thank you so much for supporting the little show that could. And we love that we're able to provide you guys with some insight and entertainment. So please, like, we're over here. I am bowing in honor. Like, just, I can't. Love it, love it, love it, love it. Okay, Morgan, who are we talking to today?
Okay, everybody, we are talking to Tracy Conan, and you may recognize her from certain news outlets, and she'll talk about that in the show, but most importantly is her background. She is a certified public accountant and also certified in financial forensics, so two big ones. She's also a master analyst in financial forensics, so we've got a triple threat coming on today talking about financial forensics in divorce cases.
I can't wait. I'm ready to jump in. Are you?
Let's go with this. Introducing Tracy Conan.
Now, before you think that this is divorce meets CSI, Tracy, first of all, welcome to our show. And can you give our listeners the dinner party explanation of what you do regarding a divorce process?
I find money. As simple as that. I just break it down as I find money.
Okay. Well, my next question, follow up to that is, can you find me some money? No, I like the blank stares that I'm getting from both Morgan and Tracy, who are like, well, this just got awkward. Okay. So you find people money. I'm with you. Meaning money that's like not easy to find, or money that like hasn't just shown up in general discovery. Like what exactly do you mean?
Money that has disappeared that you want to get back. Now, to be clear, I don't get it back for you. That's what your attorney is for. But I find it. So you're married. Your spouse has been spending money on things you would not approve of. I can help you try to figure out where that money went, what they spent it on, and how much it was.
Okay, wow. So Tracy, you are kind of a big deal. You really didn't talk about your background. So I know you've been on numerous news outlets across the country talking about none other than finding the money. So give us a little bit of your background. Where have you been seen? If people recognize your voice, and also give us your credentials.
Do I have that recognizable voice?
Yeah, so I mean, I recognized it.
I was on CNBC, right? They had a show called On the Money, which was so perfect for me. I mean, I've been on, you know, CBS, NBC, I've been on all those things, Wall Street Journal interviews, you know, a lot of fun media stuff, trying to tell people about fraud. I was almost a guest on Dr. Phil, not because my life is a mess, but because someone else was part of a scam and they wanted to have me talk about the fraud aspect of it and how people get swindled. So I've done all that kind of stuff, but you know, the day job is I'm a forensic accountant. I'm a fraud investigator. I do tell people I find money because that's a really easy way to understand that I do fraud investigations. So if someone, an executive in a company has run off with a bunch of money, I can investigate that. Sometimes I work for the good guy and sometimes I work for the bad guy. Doesn't matter. Money is money. I just find it.
So you seem super boring. I mean, Andrea, could we get a more boring guest on the show?
Don't snooze. I'm sorry. I just woke up. What was it that you do again, Tracy? Hey, like I'm already like leaning in and I'm like, I want to know everything. And I'm trying to think like Morgan, we have to organize this conversation because I want to know everything that Tracy does, right? From a client perspective, like how does she work? And then also I'm like, get to the good stuff. Tell us the juicy stories. So where do you want to start with all of this, Morgan?
Okay. So let me start with giving a few questions to Tracy. So first of all, legally, it's important that our listeners understand that not every, or really most cases require a forensic accountant or a fraud investigator. Tracy, can you talk about the kind of money that needs to be at stake in order to justify the costs and efforts of someone in your profession in a divorce matter? Because I know everybody wants a forensic accountant. Everybody wants the fraud investigator. When is it really necessary?
So you're right. The thing is, when people are getting divorced, there's oftentimes bad blood there. People get suspicious of the other folks and they think something has probably gone wrong with money. I always like to say sex, drugs, and rock and roll make a really good fraud investigation, right? And a lot of times that's there in these cases. So I tell people that they need to be looking for red flags. What doesn't feel right? What doesn't seem right? So for example, one really common red flag when someone might need a forensic accountant is when their spouse has been having an affair. Why? Because affairs cost money. And affairs usually need money that is secretive because you're not going to usually openly spend on your affair and let your spouse know about that money. So that type of thing, you know, looking for other red flags, like, you know, someone who won't let you in on what's going on with the money, or asking you to sign documents without explaining them to you, or just doing weird stuff. You get a really bad feeling. You find out that there's a bank account at a bank you never heard of before. Those are the types of scenarios where you might start thinking about a forensic accountant, but then they're expensive, right? So I always think about, okay, first of all, how much do you think is missing? And how much would you be willing to spend to get that back? So if you think $10,000 might be missing, that's a lot of money, but you might spend more than that to get it back.
That's right. The hard reality. And I think that's something that's really hard for people to hear because the average listener is going to be like, right, but that was my money. That was my $10,000. And what you're saying is like, I get it. And sometimes that just sucks.
Right. And you know, our last guest, we talked about really kind of putting the divorce and co-parenting into business terms, right? So if you're running this like a business, if you're out $10,000 and it's going to cost you $15 to figure out where it is it worth it? It's not. But let me just follow up with one other thing. Can you say the word flag again? Because the way you say it, I just stopped dead in my tracks.
Red flags.
Red what?
Flags.
Flags.
Some people say flags, but that's not the right way.
No, some people. Well, you say some, we say majority. So go on. So now are we spelling it the same way, Tracy? Are you saying F-L-A-G or is it F-L-A-E-G?
Or maybe U-E-G?
The way you say it is F-L-A-A-G, flags.
But I wasn't saying flags. I'm saying red flags. It sounded like you were saying red flags.
Yes.
Okay, moving on because... I don't want any more red flags going around on this podcast. Okay. So, Tracy, in other words, let's get back to it. In your opinion, how would one know that they need a forensic accountant and whether the cost benefit analysis is right? When would you say, okay, maybe it's time to look into that?
So try to think about how much might be missing, whether it's maybe there's some income your spouse is getting that you might not know about, whether there's some money missing, some assets missing. We used to have a thing and now it's no longer present, or it seems like we should have more money in the account. We always lived this certain lifestyle and now he's telling us we have no money. Think about what that might be. that it, try to quantify it. It's hard, right? If you knew how much money it was, you wouldn't need the forensic accountant. But you try to think about how much money it is. Think about your half of it, right? So if you figure like, oh gosh, there should be $100,000 in that account and there isn't. Half of that is $50,000. That's your part of it. And then think about how much you'd be willing to spend to have someone investigate it. Would that $50,000 be worth it to you to spend $5,000 to investigate? And if you can comfortably say yes, and if that $5,000 investment would give you peace of mind, then you're probably on good footing to go forward.
Makes sense. This is just the part of divorce. Not that any part of it is like sexy or exciting, but when you get down to this, like you really take the fun out of it, Tracy. It really takes the wind out of our sails. We want to be like everything we're going to hunt for, but this is a very realistic approach, right? Like if there's a chance that you're not going to get this back. And I like what you first said. In addition to that, we don't always know that you're going to get it back. There's a chance that you do this investigation and it's like, I'm so sorry, Buttercup, but that money is gone, right? Like if somebody went and spent it all, you can't necessarily get it back.
Right. And so even like when I work with companies that have bazillions of dollars who maybe have had their CFO was stealing from them, we don't just run off and say, okay, we're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to investigate this when we don't know how far it all goes. So I say, let's start with a piece of it. Let's start with a piece of the investigation and look at areas that we think are potentially the worst. And if we find something there where there's smoke, there's fire, then we can always go further. So sometimes in divorces, it's the same way where we start with a smaller project where we control how much it costs and then we can get higher.
I will say what Tracy is saying legally is something you have to consider in your divorce. Any good expert you hire, your divorce lawyer should be guiding them and also starting at what I call nuggets, right? Tracy just talked about a nugget. I don't want to hire an expert and say, just go to town, unlimited budget, just go do what you want, because that will give you a bill that nobody is expecting. What I always say is here's the first task. Go see if we can investigate this small nugget and then come back to me with the results. And then we'll determine whether we expand your, you know, consulting fee or your consulting agreement.
So, okay. Talking about that bill though, because this is, I think what's going to tie this in for our every man, every woman listener. That's another hidden cost in a divorce, right? Like you're going through all of this garbage, you're doggy paddling your way through it. And then you get a bill from your attorney and you were like, oh God, I thought that things were already bad. And now I didn't realize how much money I'm owing people to fight my ex in court. So going back to this, tying it into what you do, Tracy, we know that the majority of the people out there, the money they have at stake is not going to justify hiring somebody like you. And that's probably a good thing because I'm already overwhelmed by everything you're telling us. But if we're focusing on the every person and we're talking about those, you know, red flags, if someone listening to our show right now feels like there's something that isn't quite kosher with their money situation, what are these things that should really be standing out to them? Like, what are the things that every person should be aware of?
I think you should pay real good attention to the spouse who is secretive about the finances or who has changed what you have access to. So did you suddenly lose access to a bank account? Was your name taken off a bank account? A password was changed on an account so you can't access it anymore? That's a really common one that I see. Or has mail stopped coming to your house? So you used to see certain bills and you don't see them anymore. That's very, very weird. Are there large purchases that you didn't know about or you didn't consent to when you and your spouse used to talk about big purchases? Maybe you had an agreement that anything over $1,000 or anything over $500, you would agree to before someone spent the money. And all of a sudden, some of these purchases have happened. Those are things that really worry me.
If somebody does notice something, right? What, and Morgan, maybe this is a question for you as the attorney, what does the client do? Like, let's say one day they're logging in and they see like, oh, I don't have access to this one Chase account that I've always had access to. What do they do, Morgan?
Right. So they're going to come to their lawyer first and say, hey, this is weird. Do you think this is weird? Look at these documents, what I'm seeing here. And or I don't have access to this account anymore. Do you think this is strange? How do we go about getting access to that? So first, the first step is to start with your lawyer. Let your lawyer direct the case. Do not run directly to Tracy, even though Tracy is lovely, but let the lawyer direct you to Tracy when and if it's appropriate. Again, I will say most cases do not have the funds to require Tracy's services. However, a lot of my cases do have that. And I would say that a lot of the times it really is a peace of mind thing. So like Tracy hit on, it's, I don't mind spending this money because I think something's going on. And even if I don't get it back, I just want it for my peace of mind to know that I'm not crazy because I feel like something is off. So the bottom line is you're walking away, you're telling your lawyer first, something doesn't feel right.
You know, speaking of peace of mind, that reminds me of something that Tracy, you mentioned when we spoke on the phone yesterday. When you were giving me all these red flags, one of the things that you said to me, which really stuck out, is you said, no matter what, don't confront your spouse over this. Don't go to them and say, I used to be able to log into this account and now I can't. And I think, like, for peace of mind, a lot of people want to have that moment. And right. I thought it was so interesting what you said.
Well, so if you are not yet in the divorce process and you do lose access, maybe there's some room for saying, hey, did we change the password on the account, right? That maybe I'm okay with. What I do caution my clients against is the confrontation about, I know you've been wasting money. I know you've been doing the things. I know you're concealing the things. Because here's the thing. What I want my clients to do is very quietly gather information before their spouse realizes that they know. Get everything that you legally can access and squirrel it away. Set that documentation aside somewhere safe before you raise a big fuss, because once you raise the fuss, your spouse might cut you out of even more access.
So Tracy, let's talk about something. It's more of the sexy divorce case. So not everybody, not every normal person will have this, but let's talk about offshore accounts. Do you have access or have you dealt with those types of accounts?
So offshore accounts come into cases from time to time. You know, it's oftentimes people who have business interests or, you know, who are higher level assets, things like that. People want to know, are there accounts all over the country? Are there accounts overseas? Really tough topic. No, there is no database that someone can consult to say, does Andrea have accounts somewhere that we don't know about? And anyone who tells you they can do that is lying to you or potentially breaking the law to find that.
So, you know, Tracy, there's a lot of people out there that read these stories on divorce. There's a lot of stories in Us Weekly, in People Magazine, all over the internet about offshore accounts. And what you just said is so important, which is if anyone's telling you that they can just, you know, go to a database and find all these offshore accounts, they're lying to you. I agree with you, because offshore accounts are very difficult to locate. We don't have the same reciprocity legally to get into those accounts from the US overseas. So, you know, that's a difficult thing when we're reading these offshore accounts. So what I would say legally is if you have an estate that may have offshore accounts, make sure you are gathering all that information, little snaps of pictures here and there, anything to try to trace some kind of an account that may not be in the US. Do you have any other tips on that point, Tracy?
My best tip about that kind of stuff is to utilize a private investigator who specializes in those offshore financial investigations. There are people who do that, and they're very adept at giving you that first look to tell you, do you have something that we should even pursue? But then knowing people in various countries so they can navigate those various systems.
And one question before I move on that I just want to make sure probably our listeners are wondering, okay, Tracy, you come on my case. I see a bank account that has all these weird purchases that I don't know what they are. If I hand it over to you, what are you going to do with this?
What I do is very much based in tracing money using bank statements and credit card statements and investment account statements. So I'm going to take all those statements, put all those transactions into a database, and I'm going to try to identify what the purchases were for. And like you said, there's going to be purchases where you're going to say, I have no idea what this is for. I'm going to mark that as something that is unknown, that we need that question answered. And so your spouse is going to have to ask, or is going to have to answer, what is that for, and prove what that's for.
Okay. So Tracy, you just told us about that you're flagging items that we need answers. And when you're talking about the answers legally, who's getting the answers? The lawyer is getting the answers. So you're handing me the paperwork. You're saying these are the things that we need questioned to the other side. And we would ask these questions, whether it be in written form, legally pursuant to what's called discovery, or we could depose or take a deposition of the other side to ask, well, what are these? Why don't you tell us why you spent this, but can't remember what it is, or what is it for? So in addition to that, what else do you see people coming to you to ask you to help them on financially?
So very closely related to that service is something that we call lifestyle analysis, where I am looking at all those transactions and trying to figure out how much money were you guys spending every month? And one of the reasons that we might do that is someone comes to me and says, listen, for years, our tax return has said that we've been making $50,000 a year, but I can tell you we've been spending $20,000 to $30,000 a month. We've been living a great life that doesn't match our tax return, but now that we're getting divorced, my husband is saying, well, $50,000 is what you're getting support on. And so I will do this lifestyle analysis to hopefully go in front of a judge and say, judge, he's only saying he makes $50,000, but they're spending all this money on their lifestyle. That's why we call it a lifestyle analysis. And therefore, the money has to come from somewhere. Make him tell us where the money's coming from.
But again, that's like another like roll the dice moment, because I went through something similar to this, and it's like, do you want to spend the money doing that, knowing that you're kind of playing like family court roulette? You don't know if you're going to get anything back, or if they're going to say like, we don't really know, you know, or it was family money that you're not entitled to now that you're going your separate ways. I think that all it's so hard to know what's the right move, you know? And I think.
So what I do in some cases, Andrea, is when the people really, really don't know if there's enough to go after, I might take a case and do a little look-see on it and do kind of a really compressed project for them, looking at some of the biggest things to try to see, is there smoke there? Because if there's smoke, there's probably fire. And if I can see something with that small look, maybe there's something to go after and it makes sense to spend more money to do the whole workup. So I at least try to help clients mitigate how much they're spending before they know if there will be something that they can really go after.
I think that that is so helpful. And, you know, in all cases, I think that it's important for somebody to remain on offense as much as possible, right? We always want to be proactive so that we're not forced into the position of being reactive. So with that in mind, I want to know, do you have tips for, again, going back to the everyman, the guy who wants to be on top of this stuff, feels like there may or may not be something a little bit unorthodox going on behind the scenes? What should he be doing and what should he be not doing?
The biggest tip for every single person is gather as much information as you can. So the second that you know that a divorce is possible or a divorce is happening, you start gathering information. You do not sign anything. You don't sign anything, especially if you don't understand what you're signing. I always say, get a new email address that your spouse doesn't know about and couldn't possibly have access to. So you can use that for communications with your attorney, with your forensic accountant, with anyone who might be helping you with your divorce or potential divorce. Start downloading statements from all the accounts that you have access to, legal access. And I always have to say this, please only do the things you have legal access to, because you don't want to be someday, a year from now, standing in front of a judge, having to answer for why you had illegally accessed some accounts that you weren't supposed to be in. You just want to be on the up and up, right? I say open a PO box and have information be sent there. If you are, you know, just to protect it so that your spouse couldn't intercept something that's super, super important.
such good information. And I want to just tease something, if I may, Tracy. You let me in on a little secret when we were chatting on the phone yesterday that coming up in the next few months, there is a tool that you are launching to help people organize all of this. Is that correct?
It's true. There's so many people who can't afford the services of a forensic accountant, but they still need to know, what documents do I get? What do I do with them once I have them? Is there something that the regular person who's not an accountant can learn from a tax return or from a bank statement that's going to help them in their case? So I'm putting together a tool for them to do exactly that, to walk them through that process of gathering that information and looking for some of those red flags and some of those aha moments where they can identify things that their spouse may have spent without their knowledge.
I love that advice. And I love that you're launching something. When will it be out?
This summer is the intention. I've got the content. I wrote a book on lifestyle analysis that was specifically for attorneys. And so there's so much information there that I need to just take that and make that accessible for that every man. And come up with put together for them that process, that list that they need to, double check on the things that they should get and all that kind of fun stuff.
Well, now your feet are going to be to the fire, because our listeners are going to be waiting to see when this launches. So there's no turning back now that you've disclosed this.
And she has to come back, Morgan. I mean,
agreed.
An absolute, like when this puppy is ready to be like brought into, the hands who need it, girl, we're going to need to dive deeper into this, because Morgan and I feel very strongly that anything that we can do to help other people have as much knowledge as possible is always going to be what we stand behind.
Well, and that's exactly it. There's so many people that I've seen out there. There are support groups on Facebook and things like that, where people are talking about their divorces and how much it's costing them and how financially crippling it is. And they've got all these questions and they can't afford to hire someone like me. And I was like stuck for how can I really, really help them when they just can't hire me. And so this is a really great alternative. And when I say I'm going to do something, I always follow through, because I hate hearing folks say, oh, I'm going to do the thing, and then the thing never happens. Not with this one. This one is so needed out there.
If you say it, you have to do it. That's my rule.
Precisely. And that's part of the reason why I do like talking about it, because people like are going to ask me about it, and there's no way I'm going to let myself be embarrassed and say, oh yeah, I didn't put in the work. Yep. Nope. That's not me.
Exactly. And so we are loving this information that you're generously handing out, but before we let you go back to your busy workday or maybe just your wine, we need a story. We talked to you prepping for this episode, and there was a story that stuck out in my mind and Andrea's. It is the infamous Instagram investigation. Can you share that with our listeners?
I love talking about the Instagram investigation. And this was kind of a different one for me. This isn't going to apply to everyone, but it was so interesting to work on. Husband and wife separate. They're going to get divorced. Husband moves away and gets a new girlfriend. Okay, whatever. He gets a new girlfriend. But, they had quite a bit of money. I think these folks had something like $40 million collectively that they were trying to split up. And so there was a lot.
Seamsies. Is this my story?
Andrea, we share promised that. We were going to keep that a secret, that it wasn't about you.
All right, I'll go back to counting my millions. Sorry, continue.
Right. So they had a lot of money at stake, but the wife was really upset because he was spending a ton of money on this girlfriend of his. And she's like, half of that he's spending is mine. Sorry, until we're divorced, he can't just be running off and spending money on her. And so we were looking at the spending on her, and some of it was easy. He leased a car for her, a luxury car. Okay, that's super easy. I suspected that he had given her a credit card, but he wouldn't admit that he had given her one of his credit cards. The credit card company would not confirm that she was on the account. She wasn't on the account. So she must have just been forging his signature. We don't know what, using the credit card at the store. We couldn't prove that she was making all of these purchases until the day when the wife, who was my client, had been sending me screenshots. Look at this whore's Instagram account. The whore. Right. And so I had all these pictures. And so I went and actually looked at the girlfriend's Instagram account. Cute woman, cute young woman.
Was her handle that whore, or was her handle something a little bit more anonymous?
It was her name.
It wasn't that whore.
Yeah, it was normal. Yeah. So she had this affinity for going shopping at really high-end stores and then taking pictures of herself and putting them on Instagram, tagging the store, like her holding up the shopping bag. Here's what I bought. So she would go shopping all day. Then she'd go to a fancy lunch, take a picture of herself at the restaurant, tag the restaurant. It was all great. I looked at this Instagram account and I'm like, well, all I've got to do is match it up to the credit card statement. So legit, I sat there and took screenshots of every single shopping picture that she had, matched it to a charge on the credit card. Oh, Chanel, here's a picture of her. She tagged the Chanel store and it was fantastic. It was a ton of work, but ultimately we proved that she had a credit card on his account. We added it up. It was like 400 grand of spending. And so my clients, half of that is $200,000. That was so worth it for her.
And the husband pretty much probably lost a lot of credibility because he wasn't being forthright, and hashtag whore outed herself. So what are you going to do?
That whore.
Well, so I always tell people to be careful with their social media when they're getting divorced, because they're not often thinking about the stuff that could come back to bite them on social media. Well, here, the husband in this case was thinking, well, I'm not on social media. Who cares? Everything is fine. He wasn't thinking about his girlfriend's social media account. He was never on it. That's the funny thing. He was never in the pictures, because I'm sure he said, like, oh, I better not be in your pictures. I'm going through a divorce. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Oh, man. And I mean, oh God, there's so much to unpack there. And I'm still laughing to myself about that whore. I'm imagining her Instagram handle being that_whore.
Well, she's a former model. So that,
of course she is.
Aren't they all? Aren't they all?
You know what? I'm a former comedian. It means nothing. Former this, former that.
I was a supermodel in my last life, but unfortunately I'm a divorce lawyer in this life.
Well, husband and wife are in their 50s and the new girlfriend's like 25 years old. So of course people are upset about this, but here's a funny aside to the story. So I found all this stuff on Instagram and I knew that I was going to have to sit there and take screenshots of all this. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be hours worth of my time making these screenshots and whatever. And I don't really have time right now to do this. And so tomorrow I'm going to take all the screenshots. So the next morning I get up, I start working, I go to her Instagram account. She has made it private. And I almost lost my mind. Holy shit. Is this malpractice? I could have taken the screenshots last night. My client is going to lose her mind. I don't have the evidence. What am I going to do? Wait, how does the whore know that I was looking at her account? I didn't follow her. How does she know? Who told her? What's going on? Oh my God. Got my shit together. Waited a few hours, went back. The account was again public.
Of course, because these people can't help themselves. They need to flaunt what they have.
Right.
She noticed that her likes had gone down. She's like, now that I'm private, only 25 people liked my picture.
Right.
Oh, that whore. You dummy. Well, okay. I loved it. I'm loving every bit of this.
Let me just say one thing, because yes. I feel like we've been hitting on women today and the other woman, or bagging on men. But I'll tell you what, I've had hashtag whore men boyfriends as well that do kind of similar things. So it goes both ways.
It's for sure. And I've been involved in cases where I'm on the side of the husband who was a stay-at-home dad for the last 10 years. You know, I had one where his wife was the moneyed spouse who was an executive making tons of money, who flew private everywhere and stayed at all these fancy hotels and all this kind of stuff. I mean, she was spending something like $50,000 a month just on traveling for fun. And he needed temporary spousal support while the case was pending. And she said, I'll give you $2,500 a month. Right. I mean, so total role reversal. So I've been on both sides of it.
Also, there's nothing wrong with spending money on your boyfriend or girlfriend. You just have to be upfront about it. Just don't try to hide it. We all have whores. I'm not hating on the whores. I'm just saying there's 100%, you're getting a divorce. The cat's out of the fucking bag. You can be in a relationship with somebody. You can buy that person things. That's your prerogative. Just don't try to hide it. And don't try, you know, like say like, yeah, I'm going to give you half of this because I'm dating Misty right now. And Misty really wants a, you know, a new Chanel handbag. Like, you know, people get into deep water when they start lying and trying to act like it's not happening.
I agree with Andrea. Do not lie. I don't know if I'm on the same page with her legally about dating, et cetera, but that's for another episode. But
it is for another episode.
Moving on.
You know. So fun. That's a fun episode. You should do that.
I know. But you know, I think it's hard. That's a whole, I know we can like spiral into that topic. And we all know that I am the queen of sucking through my divorce. So you name the mistake and your homegirl here has probably made it. But Tracy, you got, before you run off, you have to tell our listeners, where can they go in the middle of the night if they want to cyber stalk you in a totally friendly, not at all creepy way?
Right. Super easy. So the easiest way to find me is to Google forensic accountant Tracy. And I'm going to come up like way up there. So it's super easy. My website is sequenceinc.com, not like a sequence dress, but like a sequence of numbers and ink, like incorporated. So sequenceinc.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn. I write there about my work. And yeah, so I don't have a super big social media presence, you know, but I'm out there. I've got a blog. I write about divorce and you can find some divorce tips there.
Perfect. So Tracy, we have loved... We've loved having you. I mean, you've given us some invaluable advice, I would think, to most of our listeners. And, you know, we think that you are so fun that we have invited you, our first guest, to actually play with us in our decline to comment game. Are you open to play as the first expert, our decline to comment game?
Okay. I was hoping you might invite me to play. Yep. I was secretly hoping.
This is your moment, Tracy.
This is your lucky day. All right. Let's play decline to comment. So Tracy, given that you're our first expert on the decline to comment game, we're going to give you the rules. If we shoot a question at you and you feel like it could get you in trouble legally, business-wise, or maybe you're just really uncomfortable and cannot answer it, or don't maybe want to get in trouble with somebody that you're with, you can say decline to comment and we will move on. But for the most part, we're expecting you to answer pretty much all the questions.
You also have to answer immediately. There's no pausing. The first thing that comes to your mind is what you need to give us.
Okay. I'll do my best.
Okay. I'm starting. I'm lobbing three questions at you and I'm handing it over to Andrea. Are you ready to play Decline to Comment?
Ready.
Would you rather spend $1 million on travel or $1 million on clothes?
Travel.
Would you rather make a $100,000 investment in Bitcoin or make $50,000 investing in a business that helps the environment?
The business.
Would you rather wave a red flag or a white flag?
A red flag.
Andrea, over to you.
Tracy, shoes or handbags?
Shoes, but very close, very close.
What was your first job?
I was a waitress in a little diner, a little greasy spoon.
And speaking of, how much have you spent on a bottle of wine? The max.
I think the most I spent on a bottle of wine is like $100. I'm not super crazy about it.
All righty. There you go. Well, I noticed that you were drinking a fine bottle of rosé this afternoon. So I had to ask a wine question.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. And I was drinking the driest rosé you could ever find. So it's not sweet at all. Perfect.
Love it.
We are ending on decline to comment. And guess what, Tracy, not only are you our first expert that have played the game, but you didn't decline to comment at all. So thank you.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Everybody, we absolutely love and appreciate every single one of you, even if there are red flags going on in your life. We know that divorce is hard. We know it's draining. And we know that the unknown can feel scary. Our goal is to offer some guidance and some humor at times, and ultimately to help you not suck at divorce.
That's true. And if you ever need a little dose of levity or a little bit more insight, or just to reach out to us personally and ask us questions, know that we are here for you. You can find me over on Instagram at that_whore.com. Couldn't help myself. I can't stop saying that whore.
I just died. Okay.
Okay. Don't go to there. I can't vouch for whatever is on that page, probably way more colorful than what's on my page, which is at the Andrea Rappaport.
And everybody, I'm at Divorce Attorney Chicago. And also, if you want more information, visit our website. It's www.hownottosuckatdivorce.com for more information on how to reach us. Tell your friends, tell your book club, hell, tell your ex about our show. We're here to help everyone. And please like it, share it, give us a thumbs up. Tell us we're doing an okay job.
That's right. And it doesn't matter whether you're in Wyoming or not. We got you. We got all of you. And guys, we know this is hard. We get it. I have been through it. I'm still walking that walk. We know that sometimes it is day by day.
And sometimes it's hour by hour. But remember, you've got this, and we've got you. Until next time.